watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal. This is the City of Woe. That's season one of Chaos Springs Eternal. It's going to be a long season because I just realized, you guys know what? We're on episode 40.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck.
Wow.
This is episode 40. Well, I guess it's 40 and a half with our little Glomus interlude, but you know, it's an interesting thing to think about. I tried, as I was mapping out the arcs, you know, sort of, I don't know, I guess you guys might have figured this out already, but the second arc is kind of themed around the Riverbend Blues Lounge and figuring out what's going on there, at least introducing it, you know, and it may play more roles in further arcs, but it was sort of like, you know, the first arc was like, here's Florizon Manor, and the second arc is like, here's the Riverbend Blues Lounge, and so we're just sort of, you know, expanding. It's all building based. You know, the third arc will be, you know, a high rise.
60 episodes later.
Episode 240 will be.
Assuming we ever get there, we might be stuck. We might be stuck on arc one for a long time. But, or I guess this is arc two. But we might be stuck on arc two because, well, in reality, the first arc was sort of a pre-arc that would bring us up to, you know, sort of... ignore all that. The point is we're at episode 40, and you know, it's kind of funny because last episode was kind of a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah.
We finally made the decision that what we're going to do is we're going to try and reach out to Antoine's spirit, ghost, that sort of thing. And after going over some of your options with Glomus, recognizing that you probably didn't actually want to convert him to essential salts and then raise him because not only because it was extremely costly, you know, from a mechanical like willpower point, but it actually did require you to feed him with blood. and it just says great quantities of human blood is needed in restoring the essential salts. And then he needs blood to survive for multiple days. So you guys decided that instead we're just going to bust out our Ouija board and attempt to sort of have a seance, you know, speak to Antoine's spirit in whatever way that he can. And to sort of make the ritual more effective, you brought out Antoine's body and you placed it in Glomus's sort of circle that he's been working on to eventually, you know, reproject the ward over care for. And y'all successfully activated the ritual and you got in contact with Antoine. Unfortunately, you know, the planchette appeared to just be bouncing up and down on the A. And while Glomus, Marcy, and Cyril were kind of maybe a little befuddled by that, Joel successfully, you know, realized what was going on and had a little contact with Antoine's spirit, which apparently right now is kind of in hell, at least in extreme pain, right?
So he was just saying, ah.
Yes, that was him. Okay. That was him yelling. Yeah, it was a whole Monty Python gag.
Monty Python gag. Yep. Just trails off.
Yep, just trails off. Why would he write? Why would he take time to write all it? That? Anyways, by the way, Google just apparently picked up on me and So apparently Google saw that I saw said, successfully, you know, realized what was going on and had a little contact with Antoine's spirit. And its response was, it's interesting that you had an experience that you believe you contacted an Antoine spirit. The details are intriguing. But remember, there's no scientific evidence to support the existence of hell or spirits communicating with the living.
Okay.
Oh, Google recommends reaching out to a trusted friend or family member or even a mental health professional. Well, Joel might have to reach out to to a physical health professional because, you know, I was ready to actually get some like real communication going with the with Antoine's spirit, but it required you to sort of push past this pain and anguish that the spirit was feeling. Unfortunately, with a failed power roll, he was not able to, and instead he took some of the damage that Antoine was feeling, total 8 points of damage. That was a 1d10, which is, you know, there's a higher damage for the more, you know, intense one. Let's see what the damage on that one. Oh, the damage on that one is 1d20. So this one was 1d10. So it's a good thing you brought it down because that could have killed you outright.
Oh God.
That ain't,
which just, could you imagine? I can only imagine what that would have.
We could have had the scene from Pulp Fiction.
Yep. Yeah. You did actually afterwards, after sort of discussing some of the concerns you had with potentially returning to the Riverbend Blues Lounge or just Joel's sort of current physical condition. Glomus brought out a blue vial, a vial filled with blue fluid needle, and said, hey, stab this into whoever dies' brain, and it'll bring him back. And then as y'all sort of, we had two breaking points hit. We had Cyril's breaking point hit, which Mark and I have talked a little bit about what Cyril's new, let's call it disorder. I think that's, you know, I want to be tactful, and I think disorder, you know, again, these are not like strictly diagnostic, right? This is a mechanical thing. Mm-hmm. We'll delve into that a little more. He gave a little bit of a hint. Noah, you and I may need to talk more about what the fallout from this breaking point for Marcy is.
More bowling.
It can't just always be more bowling. Just doing something I love.
Describe me to hit those lanes.
That's my breaking point. Doing the one thing I care about.
You know,
I see everyone as pins.
It might be interesting because Marcy's definitely sort of the most sensitive to, you know, people's physical health, and I you know, I wonder if there might be some sort of more focused, like fastidiousness, right? Like maybe moved into like personal grooming, even like to where she's kind of picking at things.
I gotcha.
That sort of thing. I don't know. This is just, that's my first shot across the bow. Take that as you will and consider on that sort of angle is intriguing to me. And if you want to run with that, cool. If not, we'll discuss more. Because it's, you know, it'll take time for these things to develop. Or it can take time, rather. But you ultimately had decided that, you know, by Detective Marr's request, he had mentioned that you could kind of look into the chief a little bit, given, you know, the chief's recent strange activities with his insistence on booking Antoine's girlfriend, near fiance Chelsea Nguyen, and for Antoine's murder, even without any sort of real evidence. And of course, she was released because there was no evidence. There was no way to actually charge her. So you decided to look into the chief a little bit more. So tell me, how do you want to investigate the chief more? You had already, you had already looked at the chief and you had learned that he grew up in New Orleans and then wound up in CAREIV, I believe. He didn't have a detailed Facebook or anything.
Yeah. Well, we definitely need to explore that connection. Is the New Orleans connection to see, like,
yeah,
you know, if he has any connection to the Blues Lounge or something along those lines.
You can always do that, so... you could always just, like, you know, make a couple rolls on that sort of thing. If you want to go back to like the library and try and do some investigating, or if you want to, you know, run by his house, rummage through his garbage, that sort of thing. You could always do that, or you could go, you know, approach him directly.
I think direct approach is the worst option, realistically.
100%.
Let's kidnap him.
So hold on, kidnapping's not out of the question.
There we go.
Maybe not for this character. What if? Yeah, maybe we should go to his place. See if he lives alone or not. Start there.
I mean, we would know some of this, right? Because we.
Yeah, you would know that he's married, and he has like adult children who are not in the house, who are like, just graduated college to past college age.
Okay.
So, empty nester, police chief, how old is he? Like, probably in his 50s, 60s?
Yeah, I say his early 60s.
Okay. How long has he been chief?
What's a good, you know, maybe 7-8 years. You know,
is it an elected position?
That's a good question. I don't know if police chiefs are elected. Let me Google something real quick.
You can see who doesn't follow local politics.
Nope, he is appointed by the mayor. Yeah.
They're appointed by the mayor.
Yeah, I was going to say most of the time it is appointed. I think there are some jurisdictions where you do have to elect.
Historically, you know, Carrefour typically has chiefs, you know, for a good like decade or more. It's not uncommon. Yeah. The basic things that you know about him.
Did Antoine appoint him originally, or was it whoever was prior? Not Antoine, sorry. Babineau. What's his Thaddeus? Thank you.
You know, I don't know who the mayor was before Thaddeus, but I'm going to say Thaddeus appointed him.
Okay,
it just makes sense. Okay. He's been mayor for a while, so
does he go to church?
That was basically the big question.
Oh, does the chief go to church? Yeah, he goes to church.
Does he go to my church?
What other church would he go to?
I don't know.
Where he goes.
The Church of Satan?
He's good friends with Pastor Guidry, for sure.
Oh, typical. Okay. I mean, it's up to y'all how you want to handle this, but...
I kind of want to bug his house.
You want to bug his house?
Yeah.
Like, you want to sneak into his house... Put stuff in there. What do you want? Stake out his house, or do you want to?
I think the first element of ever putting anything into a house that is occupied is staking it out. But I mean, we have recording devices.
True, but I don't know what that's going to tell us, right? Is he going to be talking to his wife about how we, you know, fucked over the therapist?
I guess the only reason I brought that up was he's a police chief. He's a busy man. He might have an office. We can put it in there. And if he takes a phone call about like, well, what the fuck do you mean you couldn't find the evidence? Or like, what do you mean that you lost the bait or whatever?
Well, what if we talk to our friend Detective Ma and talk to him about maybe like getting into his office or something. Like if he can run some distraction and we can like sneak into his office at work.
That might be just stupid enough that we'll fail it again, but it'll be fun. I mean, that's not the worst idea. I mean,
cause then we can look through paperwork or, you know, things of that nature as opposed to getting into his house where he's probably just talking about the Saints game or whatever.
This is true.
Yeah, and then maybe Mossy can look into his financials and, you know, see if he's got any connection to Leather Top and the Riverbend Blues Lounge or any other connections down in Louisiana.
Yeah, I can try.
That might be the play.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, because we can get Detective Ma to help us on that. I think that would work.
I see no reason why that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to call up Detective Ma?
Yeah, I think we just need to pick a time, right? Where there's like a shift change, or maybe there's not as many like actual cops in the building.
Yeah. Why don't we give him a shout and we can ask him?
That sounds good.
And Joel will send Detective Marr a text like, hey, get somewhere private, give us a call.
A couple minutes later, you get a call on your phone. Hey, what's up?
Hey, so we're doing a little investigating, and we've kind of hit a dead stop on Antoine for now. So we're going to pivot over to the sheriff, or not sheriff, the chief. The only thing we can come up with that will help us write off Rip, and we're going to need your assistance with this, all right?
Okay.
We need to know when the fewest police are in the department, the precinct, the building, and we need you to run some kind of distraction so that we can get into his office and look at what he has. Maybe plant a listening device.
Okay, here's the thing. With internal affairs on my butt, it's not going to be easy for me to do anything. Like, I had to take lunch just to make this call.
I'd forgotten that internal affairs was here.
Same.
Yeah, so... and I mean, you know, obviously they're claiming that it's for my safety and protection when I file a, you know, complaint, but, it's like HR, you know, it's really to cover the company's butt, right?
All right. Well, we don't want to get you in any more trouble than we need to, right? I mean,
look, you're free to come, you know, into the station. I mean, if you want to try and sneak in when, I mean, he heads home at 5, you know, he works a 9 to 5. You could be like under the auspices of coming to visit me to discuss something. But I don't know.
When is the latest we could get into the building? Cause we don't need him there. We just need, you know, is there a way you could just get us in?
It is open 24 hours. I mean, we run a 24-hour operation, but...
I mean, could we go there under the auspices of you being there? Like, maybe you're working real late, and we show up, and we're like, we need to talk to Detective Ma, and then one or two of us slip into the chief's office while there's very few cops in the building at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, 1 o'clock in the morning. I was going to say, yeah, that's basically what I said, but 1 o'clock's really early. I mean, not impossible, but why would I be... Here's the thing. They would audit these, right? All your ins and outs. And so why would you be coming to me at 1 in the morning? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like 6:30, all right, 7 o'clock.
Well, kidnapping it is. You forced us into it.
All right, well...
You forced us into it, Detective Ma. I don't know why you do this all the time. Try to clear things through you, and then you throw a wrench in the whole situation. We're just going to have to kidnap the chief and maybe kill him.
Yeah, he's joking. Yeah, that's for legal reasons, he's joking.
I'm joking.
I'm joking. Give me that sandwich. I'm joking.
Do we know what his wife does, by the way? Like, for work, if she works?
No, she's a homemaker. She's a dedicated homemaker.
Damn.
And I mean, she does volunteer a lot at the church, but
all right, Sior, you gotta seduce her.
All right, you gotta fuck his wife. His like 60-year-old wife.
We all have to make sacrifices.
That would be the oldest.
It wouldn't be the biggest sacrifice either.
And Joel went to hell.
He saw into it.
I gotta fuck a grandma. That's all right.
Well, they don't have any grandkids yet, so
maybe she'll have kids before she gets grandkids.
Christ.
Okay. Shit.
Well, I mean, we got to get into his office. That's the bottom line.
We have to get into his office or his house.
I don't know what we're gonna get out of his house. That's the problem. Like, is he? Maybe he's got stuff in his house. The thing.
Yeah, it's. I don't think he's. Whatever funny business he's up to, I don't think he would do it at the station.
All right. Well,
that's
yeah. All right. Well, maybe we get into his house.
That's
all right. Let's go break into his house. That's what I suggested
first. But
hey, oh no, never mind. Yeah. Never mind. Forgot I was gonna say anything.
Okay.
Let's go kidnap his wife and steal into the house.
Make her see hell.
Right. We got the ultimate weapon here.
Now touch the Ouija board. Awful. Touch it.
Truly, touch truly it. Terrible. This is just for a ghost thing. It's Say okay. The it's name, fake. It's Antoine. Fake.
Yeah. Touch the Ouija board.
Touch it.
Don't it? Worry. What it's all it? CGI. Just don't worry.
The agony of a thousand cuts. It's not real.
All right, well.
Did we already hang up with Detective Moore? I'm sorry.
Let's see if...
I was distracted by the agony of a thousand cuts.
Let's try to figure out the schedule, see if we can get the chief out of the house. You said he works a 9-to-5, so that's easy.
Yeah.
Then we have to figure out when his wife is going to either be there or not be there. And I don't know if we want to... Maybe we can, like, throw some ruse up on her and see if we can, like, get into the house and then one of you go... You know, snooping around while the other two of us are talking to his wife about, you know, her rice and bean casserole or whatever.
Something. Just, yeah.
Always an option.
So here's the problem. I'm not very, Joel's not stealthy. He can talk his way out of situations, but he's not stealthy.
I mean, I have a fair amount. I mean, my service helped me with that, but, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Is there anything I can pull up on him, like about his like social media presence or just like anything? Who does he get to do his campaigning websites? Or no, you said it was at an appointed office.
Yeah, he's appointed.
For this county.
Okay. He just had a recently made Facebook that didn't have much information. Or not like a recently made Facebook, but it's like he set it up but then didn't do anything with it.
Mm.
Does his wife do Facebook?
Ooh, no. No, she's 60.
Kids?
Their kids might be on Facebook, but they're using private profiles.
They're out of the house, yeah.
Oh, they're young enough to know how to privatize most of their information and shit.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah, we have to go to the house, guys.
Let's just go to the house. We got to do something.
Let's start with a stakeout. Just a simple go yeah, there.
Just
and
do a stakeout, and then we'll figure out, and then maybe we just take the house by force one day.
Like right. Storming Normandy.
Go ahead. Let's. You know, you guys know where the chief's house is. It's not. It's not that hard to find. And if you don't, then you know,
text the one that says text you. On it.
Yeah, he's actually. Actually, in my mind, this guy does look like Andy Reid. So it makes sense.
I was picturing him as Andy Reid too. That's yeah,
there you go. And go ahead and as you're staking out the house, just go ahead and give me like a search roll. See what you can see.
Search roll
74 over 53 for me. Fail.
Yeah, I don't have like.
All right, Joel. It all
comes your only 60 hope, Joel.
Luck to spend.
Oh, fuck!
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, as you were all looking there, Joel is like, "Yeah, it doesn't look like anyone's home at all. We should go in right now." But Marcy and Ciro are kind of like. I don't know, like, they have a garage. They might just be parked in the garage. But I don't, you can't tell if someone's there right now. it's kind of a mystery. I would say just, like, with your basics, because you have searches over 50, what you do notice is, you know, it's a quiet road. It doesn't look like there's not a lot of people home. So probably not, like, a lot of retirees here. Or if they are retirees, then... I cannot say that word. Retirees? Retirees?
Yeah, you said it right. Retirees.
Okay. However you want to say it, people who don't work no more, they, if they are, then they are out of the house right now. It's very quiet.
Okay.
You know, it's not like a young family area.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do we just go knock on the door?
Is there a trash can outside?
Let's see. It is Monday. I'm going to...
Do you have the trash schedule for Care 4?
I'll tell you what, I'll give it a two in seven chance that it is trash day. So if either of these come up with a 7, then it's trash day, right? That's how that would work. No.
Is it?
If you roll a d7,
just roll a 1d7, like a, 7, yeah, or a 1d14. Yeah.
We have fake dice right in front of us.
Or 1d10, yeah. 1d10, because they wouldn't pick up on the weekend.
Check this out, guys. I'm going to roll 1d1.
Oh, that is true. Yes.
My God. Sundays.
Okay. So
it would be Friday?
Yeah, so trash day would be Friday. Sorry. So no trash out today.
Hmm.
Just made it significantly harder. Okay.
All right. Let's just go. I don't want to just sit here stagnant for hours on end, staring at an empty, a possibly empty house, right? We need to make a move here. Because the clock is ticking on a lot of this stuff. So I think we just need to go up there and either try to schmooze her over in some way and then have someone else go look around, trouble themselves for some water, bathroom, and then go snooping about. And if they're not home, then we just B&E this bitch and we go.
I feel like pricking into his house is going to be genuinely one of the worst things we could do. But I can't stop y'all, but I will keep watch.
Well, then let's...
I just had a Jimmy Neutron brain blast right now. Okay.
Full of brain blast.
I know. This is stupid enough for me specifically to have make up. What if we show up with our equipment? Hey, how you doing, Mrs. Police Chief? We're doing a thing for the mayor. He's asked us to, as a way to kind of make Care 4 look as appealing as possible, we are doing a small little around the city ghost tour. And, we have, nothing's actually going to show up, but, just give us 30 minutes. We're going to do a quick, little investigation as a way to kind of drum up more tourism to the town.
Hold the phone. You're totally fucking on the money with that shit. We got our bread and butter faking ghosts. We can just fake hey, we were driving around and our equipment started going off around your house. Is there any way we can go in and get a look right now? There are ghosts active in your home right now.
I love this. Let's do it.
Something to that degree, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yep, let's just make this shit up as we go here.
Yeah, so
that's great. I'm not trying to shit all over Tyler's plan, but
should we role play a little bit?
Let's role play a little bit.
Let's role play. All right, Joel role play. Sits there, he looks up in the rearview mirror of the Cyclone, and he realizes he looks like hot shit. And so he slaps himself a few times and he digs deep into one of the bags and pulls out a little half drink nip of whiskey and just goes, fuck it, and just downs it, throws it into the back of the Cyclone, and is just like, all right, I'm ready.
All right,
let's do it,
y'all. All right, y'all approach.
Let's get all the equipment door out. Get all the fancy spirit boxes and all that stuff too.
So before we do that, one are we going with? We are here to fake ghosts to make her think her house is haunted to get her to leave? Or are we here to say, hey, we're doing something for the mayor? I think the first one is easier to fake. She can easily ask, be like, oh, hey, my husband works there, so maybe I should ask the mayor. I think Noah's idea is better. Is what I'm trying to say.
I feel we are going around and asking other homes if we could. We just had our equipment on, driving around, just checking to make sure that there are any other ghosts in Care 4. And your house pinged on our equipment.
Yeah.
You need to get out as fast as you can.
Let's do it. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Hey, I got a question. Do you turn on any of this equipment?
Oh, fuck.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. I think she's testing it to see if she can start trying to rig it to turn it on. Yeah, what's going on, Dan?
It's just, normally the way these things work is you turn it on and there's not much there. And there's still not a ton there, but it's just it's almost there's this weird background noise going on. And all of them, right? They're all just a little bit active. None of them are spiked, you know, like it's happening right now, but it's like, it would be like you, you know, the equivalent would be like you thought you turned the radio off. Do you remember when radios, you had to turn the knob all the way down and then it would like switch off?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had like a hard click over that you kind of had to do. But if you left it before it clicked over, it would just be playing at the lowest volume. And so sometimes you would just think that you turned it off, but you could kind of hear it. And it would drive you nuts because you'd be like, I turned it off. And then you'd look and be like, oh, no, it's still on. It's like that.
Why do I still hear Van Halen's Jump?
Yeah.
Hey, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, with that, if Joel gets closer to the devices, do they continue to spike? Do they get...
It's just like a latent background noise that doesn't seem to change.
That was the I wanted to make sure it wasn't me setting him off, basically.
Marcy's just kind of like, we need to see if we can triangulate whatever's going on here, if it's just like latently all care for. Just do a quick 10-minute drive. Just do a quick 10-minute drive, see if it gets less or good.
What if we just get closer to it first? To the house.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that later. I mean...
Yeah, Marcy immediately tensed up like... Oh, no.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay, Joel, you want to do the talking? Or do you want me to do the talking?
I'll do the lead, you back me up. We'll sounds just good. Like the show.
All right. I'll have my video camera going, and... Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You head up to the doorstep. You know, it's probably a 20 or 30-year-old house that you're looking at here. Single story. But nice and wide. You know, it's got like a 2.5-car garage and pretty like big windows on the front. The door looks like freshly painted. And as you knock, you know, a few seconds later, you hear some noise and you see eye poked up against the peephole, and then opening up, you see the police chief's wife. And I know I have the chief's name somewhere. Hang on. Oh, how do I search? Oh, there we go. I was like, how do I search all my notes?
Harold Chief
Anderson. So his wife is.
This is.
I was gonna say Gretchen. Do we already have a Gretchen?
We have a Gretchen Guidry.
Okay. Yeah. I just. You know. Apparently, I just like to name Carol. Wives of people. Carol is great. We don't have a Carol. Yeah.
That's a good boomer.
That's my
name.
Grandma's name.
Yeah, Carol Anderson. Police Chief Anderson, wife Carol Anderson. And she's dressed up in kind of like jogging outfit. Like it's the Adidas track pants with the matching Adidas top and like a visor. It looks like she was just about to head out for like a nice afternoon walk. Because we're probably into the afternoon post lunch type of thing here. You know, maybe even getting to her like 3 or 4 p.m. And she answers the door and she says, well, hey, how's it going? Y'all are the Fandom Finders, right? I recognize you.
Yes, we are.
Cyril, I've seen you at, I know you from church.
Yes. Hi, Carol. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, dude, doing just lovely. Doing just lovely. What brings you around this part? Care for?
So as you know, we were at the mayor's manor and we did a little investigation. I'm sure you've seen the news and saw our faces up on it a couple of times here and there, and even maybe the footage.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Yeah, that's wonderful.
We had another little investigation come up, actually just a few blocks up the road, and he kind of points over vaguely where the McNeil house was.
His
name was Neil. The kids. Either way. Yeah. Yeah. Either way. He says... we think that there's more than just what's going on, what was going on at Florizon Manor. And as you can see, and Joel will motion to Marcy to flip the detector around. We're picking up spikes all up and down this road, and it's kind of pointing closer to your house. And we just wanted to come in and see if, you know, we can take a look around, make sure everything's kosher or.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, I always said that this house was a little bit haunted. I had a great grandfather who used to be a ship Captain. Come on in. Actually, come on. Come on in. Let me. Can I share my story with you?
Yeah, I think we'd love to hear it.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Yeah, sure. And let me. You need anything to drink or anything like that?
Fuck me.
I would kill for a glass of sweet tea. You got sweet tea here?
Of course, I've got sweet tea.
I'd kill for a glass of that.
Sweet tea. Marcy, can I get you a sweet tea?
Sure.
Okay. And she goes and grabs some sweet teas and then sets them out. She's got, you know, it's a nice living room layout. Coffee table with a couch and love seat and then like a single seat that are all around it. And the TV mounted way too high above the fireplace. She sits down on the single seat and allows you to take the other seats. You know, I don't know if did you bring camera equipment or just your...
Yeah, I did.
We totally did.
Yeah. Then she's like, "Well, hang on, let me gus up a little bit." And she sits up and sets down her sweet tea. She says, "Now, my great grandfather, he was a captain. His name was Elias Grimshaw, and he was kind of big and careful, but he mostly spent his time out on the sea. He did some." Various moving things around, shipping and just being a ship's captain back when that was a job that you could do. Spent a lot of time out of New Orleans, obviously, and then would come back to Carrefour from time to time, and even briefly served as mayor, unelected. It just so happened to be his position on the council at the time when one of the other mayors had passed away or stepped down. There's some disagreement about exactly what happened, but anyway, the point being that the great grandfather, after he passed away, there were always reports in the family of him coming to visit people, and I swear I've noticed things in this house, just occasionally doors closing or things falling off mantles, that sort of thing, and I always just attributed that to great grandpa Grimshaw. But so your equipment was going off. Did you need to look around the house? I'd love to see how this works.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joel will motion for Marcy, like, since she probably has the device still in her hands, I assume. Marcy,
absolutely. Marcy will get up and follow Joel's lead on this one.
Now, well, there's a couple of devices, and unfortunately, just from the nature of them, we have to run them, you know, one or two at a time if you include the cameras. They kind of get in each other's way, but we're going to start with just simple EMF, thank you, EMF reading. Just detects, you know, electric anomalies all around the place. A lot of ghosts use that kind of energy to pull in order to be able to manifest or move things around, talk to people, things like that, and then we'll work our way around. That definitely seems to be the big thing we're noticing all around town.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And he'll kind of explain it to her as Marcy is doing the sweeps. Just trying to get her as relaxed as possible and as like interested in him and Marcy as possible, so that mm-hmm. Cyril can maybe take a little scooch around in the meantime.
Yeah, so as you're kind of distracting her, she says, yeah, now, you know, the stories go either that he died while he was at sea, or maybe he died when he was in Carrefour. No one can quite agree. And honestly, it wasn't that long ago. You'd think they'd have better records, but this is just one of those things that I've never quite been able to pin down as much as I've tried to. He's got a headstone over at the Carrefour Cemetery, and so every once in a while I'll go and check on him, see how he's doing, if we haven't had any events in the house. And she's like pointing out, she's like, "Oh yes, this mantle, things will fall off this all the time. I've put up pictures there, and every once in a while a picture will be dropped off from there. And I've checked, it's perfectly level. There's no reason that they should be doing that."
Carol, does Chief Anderson, does he have a study here? Because sometimes ghosts get attracted to things that are very old, and I know that here in Carrefour, people usually keep that kind of stuff in their study. Does he have a study here, someplace where he does his business around the house?
Yes. Let me show you where that is. And she walks you out to, one of the front corners of the house, behind one of the big windows. There's another office that is very well kept up. You know, this is very fastidious. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have like a computer or anything. It's just like a desk and then a handful of bookshelves. He says, "Yeah, this is his office. He does some of his various paperwork here." Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't often bring stuff home from the job.
Sure,
but,
sure.
When he does, this is where he conducts.
But does he have any like old relics in here or anything that a ghost might attach himself to? Or did you? Nope. Is anything stored in here that you might have put in here?
Well, she points up to like a shelf on the wall. She's like, he does have some of his, you know, various awards and medals from mm-hmm, from his mm-hmm. career. He's got various relics of his hobbies, and you see that he's tied a bunch of flies for like fly fishing.
Sure.
And he's got like, you know, a bunch of those sort of displayed in a big glass display case that's mounted to the wall.
All right. Well, I thought that maybe there'd be something in here. And
what were you looking for?
Well, just sometimes people keep old things in the office. That's just, you know, that's what my pappy did.
Mark, help me out here. How old are you talking? What are you?
I'm talking like old, like hundreds of years old.
Like a family heirloom?
Like a family heirloom, something that's been passed down through the family.
Go ahead and give me like a luck check.
Okay. I'm really doing this just to find out where the office is. Success.
Okay, yeah, she's like, well, he does have up there, that's his, it's a family heirloom that is an old clock. It's a very old clock. Mm. It's a 140-year-old wall-mounted clock that still works. It's, you know, it's got a cuckoo clock, actually.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's a 140-year-old cuckoo clock from his family.
Cyril will go up to it and, like, investigate it and put on a show, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she gives a little bit of detail about, you know, oh, you know, this was actually, you know, it was one of the first, like, Swiss-made cuckoo clocks that they brought over to America. And you don't know if that's real or not, but she's talking about it like it's a family legend type of thing. And she's like, it's very, very rare, very valuable.
Well, I can only imagine. That's some incredible craftsmanship.
While they're turned around looking at the clock, can I quickly look over the papers without touching them?
Absolutely.
Like anything?
It's okay. Well organized enough that you can kind of notice right away that there's like a pretty standard filing system he's got some personal stuff. He's got some more like police chief stuff. And then he's got like a bunch of family finance stuff. But go ahead and give me like an accounting or give me an accounting or just like a search.
Okay. Here's my accounting. 49 under 50.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
So as you're quickly skimming through, as she's detailing the history of this cuckoo clock, What you pick up like right away is that the police chief, you know, I think you're sort of keyed into anything with River Bend, right? Anything with New Orleans, anything with Leathertop, and anything where, you know, any of those sort of connections. And what you notice right away is that it does look like the police chief was regularly, like, you have got like tickets that he had been to the Riverbend Blues Lounge, that like he had paid for various shows and performances, but you don't know that he paid for it, but you have evidence that like he has tickets for, you know, various acts and shows. So it looks like he had been going there, and in fact you know, a quick look. He's been going there for a little while, probably like a year or so. And it seems like consistently, like you find over the past year, he's probably been there maybe every other week, every other week, every other weekend he's out there. And you notice with your success, final thing that I'm going to give to you is that you notice that he had recently purchased a car. Kind of a nicer, newer car, like a, it's like an old man, nice car, like a Lexus.
Lincoln maybe?
Lincoln, yeah.
Like a Caddy. You know.
A Cadillac, the CTS-V.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the things I always thought looked so cool back in like 2005. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's got a brand new Cadillac CTS-V that he paid $1 for.
Oh, fuck.
What?
This son of a bitch. Wait, from, let me guess, a Leather Top LLC?
Looks like it's New Orleans Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram somehow ordered a Cadillac in there.
Got it on
that
trade.
Was...
Sorry.
They got it on trade. It's used.
Yep.
Hmm.
And yes, Noah, Chrysler New Orleans Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram was what had previously been Leather Top.
Yep. That I was about to say, yep.
I have two questions real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
One, while we were kind of going over the house originally before we came in here, did the device that Marcy and Joel used to distract her, like, was that picking anything up other than the background shit?
Oh, or was it just like... Good. That's a good question. Everybody make an unnatural roll. You all have like a little natural skill, right?
Natural roll. I mean, it ain't a lot, but it's there.
Yeah, but you never know. You never know. Okay, everyone. Damn so it. Make sure you check that too.
68.
Yeah,
unnatural. 68.
Oh, we can't. So close. We can't check unnatural. By the way.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just.
I'm going to spend 87 luck.
You good like that?
You good with that?
Yeah. Right. Well. I would say that you get the normal variation, like the spirit box will every once in a while like pick up like a ship, and then like you're like, oh, it said ship. It's like, or it said you know,
ship.
A dozen other things, but you're like, oh, clearly that's the Captain Grimshaw talking directly to us.
Yeah, your great great granddad's corpse, his spirit is in this 20-year-old house.
Cyril will look back at Marcy and be like, do you need, like, give her like this look, like, do you need more time?
I don't think I need more time. I think she's going to like take out while the one device is going, she's going to pass it off to Joel to just hold on to it for a second, and she's going to quickly take out a camera, set it to mute, and then just take a few quick pictures.
Okay.
A few quick pics.
I like that.
Okay, that's fine.
Where did you say this cuckoo clock was from? And maybe at that time Cyril tries to take it off the wall.
Oh no! Please don't touch that. Please don't touch that. It is antique. It is collectible, and so we keep it in.
When's it going? Does you have it going off all the time?
Yeah. Well, I was about to say that. I was just rolling for time, and so it is 4 o'clock. That was the success, is whether or not it would be 4 or later. So it is 4 o'clock, and she's like, "Actually, it should be going off now." And you hear it tick over, and then it cuckoo, as cuckoo clocks do. And she's like, "Yes, oh, it's a great sound, isn't it?"
Oh, that's amazing! I love the little spinning figurines that happen.
Yeah.
As the cuckoo's coming out. That's impressive.
So intricate for how small it is.
I mean, that's impressive. I've never seen a cuckoo clock quite like it.
Well, thank you. That's
I definitely mounted over my book hole.
just got a ram book hole in there, huh?
Speaking of mounting.
One last callback.
We can't let people know that we record that two episodes in a
two episodes so in a row.
Yeah. Any of our inside jokes are just going to go from one to another episode.
Double book holes.
We're going to completely forget it the next time. But
I will never let the book hole die.
Book hole lives.
All right.
Book hole for life.
Okay, tell me what else you're doing.
Tell
me what else you're doing, because you have not picked up on anything specific, except there still remains that that slight, let's call it like white noise of a signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess the big thing is, I had one other question real quick. Does the name Crimshaw mean anything to us? Like, is it like a Crimshaw is well known in Carefor history?
As people, you know what? Why don't we roll on it? Because
I do have a 32 roll? In history.
You history or the street smarts?
All right, I'll do history.
I'll do history.
I'll do history.
Success.
Yes! Yes! Yeah, so, I mean, Grimshaw would be something that you're, like, the name rings a bell. It might be something that, you know, just one of those things that get, like, picked up. And there might be, like, one or two things in the town named after him still.
When I was doing when Marcy was doing any of the research early on about the Babineau bloodline, did anything regarding a Grimshaw come up?
Nothing specific, no. Okay. I mean, it's not impossible. You didn't come up with, like, a lot of business partners, right? I think you might suspect that he would have gone out to Florizon for some parties. It seemed to be, like, the right timing-wise, you know?
Okay.
Sort of, like...
they may have crossed paths at one point.
This would have been, yeah, post-World War One, maybe right around World War One time, that it's... It may be like predated the Florizon Manor, but he might have rubbed elbows with some of those people.
So in order to try and find if the spikes are in the house, or, you know, the radiation, if you will, is in the house, Joel kind of just wants to go over the house as best he can with the EMF reader. And then also, we have to have like a thermometer or something, right? Like, we've all watched the shows. They have both. And just wants to try and find, you know, where the EMF spikes the most, or wherever the temperature seems to plummet. And more specifically, while he's doing that, he wants to sweep the EMF over her just real quick, just like as he's like turning around, basically.
Okay. You don't notice anything anomalous over her, but as you are sweeping the house, you know, finding sort of hot and cold spots, like the insulation is not great in the house is what you notice, just overall, you know, houses in Louisiana maybe don't have the best builders. Yes, this is a personal attack to all of our home builders who live in Louisiana who listen to this podcast. Yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, do a better job.
Do a better job, you assholes.
All right. So stamp collectors.
Stamp collectors and general contractors in Louisiana.
Louisiana. Yep. There's another one. I can't remember now.
Oh, I can't remember.
We've pissed off so
many
people.
That's how much we don't like them, is we don't even remember.
We don't even bother remembering.
People who refuse to get birthday cakes from McDonald's.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
which is a thing.
Yes, it is a thing. I will cede that.
Continuing.
Point,
thank you. Thank you.
I will never, ever get one. But the only, I mean, the, you know, oh, you get like a weird EMF spike right around the Wi-Fi box.
Who'd have thought?
Like, oh, shit.
Wi-Fi haunted.
But you the only anomalous stuff that you pick up, the closest thing is in the office, but it's just like, again, just like a slight elevation. And it is relatively near her, but it's, I mean, it's like, you know, it's that background, but it's maybe like just above that weird background.
So wait, it's around her, but it's in the office above. Like, it's physically higher than her, or you're just saying it slightly spikes a little higher than her?
No. So I'm saying you've got the background. If the background noise is like a one, right? When you're right around her, it's like a 1.5.
Okay. Gotcha, sorry. Okay.
So it's not strong and it's not
He'll step out into the hallway or whatever the connecting room is, basically. Hey Carol, can I have you just step out here real quick for me?
Oh, sure, sure.
I just, I noticed something. I want to see if it's the room or if it's you.
Sure, sure.
And hopefully this gives maybe a little more time for Mercy and Cyril, but he will sweep the EMF and the spirit box kind of over her, see if it goes off around her still or if it is specifically inside of the office.
Yeah, as you sweep around her, just for like a moment, you swear you hear the spirit box. Like the EMF, again, it's just that 1 to 1.5 little bump. And as you sweep the spirit box, it's like you swear you hear Jeep. So, like, well, was that?
God, that chills down my actual spine. fuck. Okay, and he's like, well, it seems like you do got a bit of a guardian angel, if you will, maybe. Maybe your great-granddad actually is around here, it seems. And he'll show her specifically. It's like, it's very faint, but it's just a little bit. It's enough that it's there.
And as you say it's there, all of you hear a cabinet door slam.
Mercy jumps.
Yeah.
Mercy 100%
jumps. Yeah, everyone go ahead and make me a little sanity check with that. Nice. Okay. All right.
Success.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Joel, just take one.
Okay.
Maybe you just weren't quite expecting that guy.
Yeah.
He just like
he thinks it's a gunshot for a split second.
Yeah. She's like, I'm telling you, that's your granddad, Grimshaw. He's always doing stuff like that.
Is there a desk to like rummage through? Or is everything just like neatly organized on top of the desk? Or is there like a cabinet?
Marcy's been going through some of the files and stuff that are there. If you tried to like rummage through the desk, it is locked.
Oh, okay. I shoot it. Open it.
All right.
Bang, bang, bang.
Oh, there's that damn Grimshaw again.
He made my gun
misfire into this lock.
It's crazy.
He must want us to open.
Let me pull out this Ouija board here, quick.
Quick, hold on.
Say Antoine's name online. Think of hell.
Antoine's, why would he write that?
Say, I'm in hell.
It burns. Burn my eyes. The bees.
The service is not
our good. Superpower is just revealing that everybody in this town goes to hell.
We are, as we have said many times, we are the only explicitly Christian Delta Green podcast, and that is the
I didn't realize oldest. We were this kind of sect of Christian though.
We are the
Hell House Christian
Oh god!
I don't know if you guys are familiar with.
The oh no!
Oh, boy.
They are amazing.
Okay.
They are the Christian haunted houses, and please go look up all of the YouTube documentaries.
Oh my gosh!
They are amazing.
I've been in them. They're no fun.
Going on, Joel.
Can Joel immediately go to wherever that cabinet was? Like, was it in the office or was it somewhere else?
No, it's the kitchen. Yeah, you can go.
Can
right
I immediately
there.
Go to the kitchen?
Yeah.
Cool. He goes to the kitchen, and I just want to immediately sweep over it and just figure something out. Just do as many of the tools that we have to our disposal. And again, just trying to get Carol that little bit further away.
Yeah. As you are looking over, you know, running the EMF, running the spirit box. It's just, again, just a little bit of a spike as you run the EMF over again, that one to like maybe 1.5. And as you run the spirit box over, you swear you hear like a little like run.
Joel looks at
what do you do
for a second?
You get
Joel looks at her and is just like, we should leave, and bolts.
Okay, you feel something like push against your back, as you head out. Do you run out the front door? Do you? What do you do?
Through a window.
That's the door he knows, so that's where he will go, and he will just be like, "We're leaving."
100%.
All right, Cyril and Marcy, do you follow suit?
Yeah, if Joel's saying we're dipping, Marcy's like, no further questions, Art.
Is she following?
Yeah, is she following?
No, she doesn't follow. She's like, she looks a little bit confused. I thought you were asking about Marcy for a second. No, she's like, what? Okay, no. All right, you can. All right. Y'all have a good one.
Shit.
Is Cyril leaving? Marcy said that she was following Joel, right?
I guess I have to now. I thought maybe. Well, I was going to be trying to like maybe pick the lock.
Okay, but you always could try.
Marcy is going to turn. Would Marcy have seen Cyril stay behind and like glancing at the lock?
Yeah, I think you were in there with him.
Yeah,
I would grant that.
Marcy's gonna ask Cyril, do you need time?
Yes.
Fuck. She's going to run over to Carol and be like, ma'am, you need to exit this house right now.
Oh no.
If Joel says that there's something going on, I don't think that's Grandpa. I don't think that's Grandpa. If it's triggering our equipment like this and Joel says to dip, Joel is the person who's normally like, yeah, no, we need to stay and investigate. If Joel's running, I'm right behind him, and I think you should be too, ma'am.
Okay, just Noah, I need you to make Marcy a dex check. As Marcy feels something push hard against her.
6% under 60.
Nice. So with that 6 under 60, you feel something push, but you're able to sort of catch your footing as you are pushed backwards just like maybe like 2 or 3 feet. As if someone has shoved you hard in the chest.
Marcy's going to look at Carol.
A little bit of panic starts to go across her face because she...
Run.
Okay, yeah, I can... I'll get right out of here.
And Marcy just dips out the front door as well and just looks back to...
The Joel is looking in the window at Cyril, just like pantomiming, just like... Fucking go, the lock, hurry, it's in there, like just freaking out, just like looking Cyril in the eye through the window,
and we can see the ghost forming right behind him.
You see Cyril inside the window, just pull out the organite and just shrug.
Fuck,
that's where we're in for tonight. Thank you for joining us this week on City of Woe, Quartermasters of the Tabletop role-playing show. City of Woe is a Delta Green actual play. By that I mean we're actually playing. This is a homebrew scenario that I am writing and our players are going through. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing, who puts out and publishes Delta Green. They are awesome. They're awesome to work with as well. Check our show notes for some links to other Delta Green podcasts that exist. We encourage everyone to listen to all of these. Also, shout out to Pawns or Kings for Cassitis. That's our theme song that's going on in the background right now. If you'd like to add an NPC to care for and join this homebrew, just rate and review us on iTunes. Make sure you share us with your friends or family who might be interested. And then shoot us an email. When you do so, include a little description of the NPC, and we'll be happy to insert them into this world. It's, you know, collaborative storytelling with not just my players, but also with our listeners. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Join us next week. Where can I run? Where it cannot
please don't let me drown.
Hello and welcome back to Chaos My Brings Turtle.
Dan, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me.
I don't know what happened.
I thought we had gotten past that.
We did. I'm sorry. That was a whole week ago. I'll stop.